You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Wednesday. It's hour one. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Busy show yesterday with the news of the Tennessee Volunteers and what Coach Pruitt's assistants were doing with putting money in McDonald's bags for recruits. By the way, two sources, two independent sources on that story. The other story that was attached to this, there are a lot of people in Tennessee saying, what about Hugh Freeze? Bring in Hugh Freeze. And the story that didn't get a lot of coverage is what I also told you. My source said he thinks the SEC might be saying to Tennessee, you're not bringing in Hugh Freeze, as if to say, we're going to blackball him. Now, that's not the word that was used, but that's the feeling. Now, technically, the SEC and Greg Sankey can't say to Tennessee, hey, you can't bring him in. I think it's a strongly suggested statement is probably how I'd characterize this. But I know there was talk about Hugh Freeze and maybe he could come in. The SEC's already been down this road before with Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss. Hugh Freeze has done a great job at establishing Liberty as a top 25 football program. But what I was told is that the SEC is strongly discouraging Tennessee from hiring Hugh Freeze, whether they do or not. And the other name that was brought up was Jason Witten, who is still playing with the Raiders, or at least on the roster there. And he might be the guy, former Tennessee Volunteer, to come to the rescue with that program. So that was yesterday. But, people questioned, and that's fine. You can question, my source or sources on this if you want to. But they've been impeccable this entire college football season. And this one was two independent sources, because once I heard that it was money in a McDonald's bag, I should try to, have somebody else, if somebody else knows anything about this, because it was so egregious. Like, they weren't trying to hide this. And I thought, well, there's got to be somebody else who knows it. And then I had somebody who reached out to me to say, just so you know, your source is right. Two independent sources on putting money in a McDonald's bag. Yes, Paul.
It got a lot of reaction yesterday, the McDonald's story with Knoxville and Jeremy Pruitt. Some fan of the show, he just went to a local McDonald's in the drive-thru and asked for the the Vols Happy Meal. And the woman at the counter just like, we don't have anything specific. It's, oh, I thought it was going to be great.
Yeah. I thought we should have had McDonald's yesterday. I don't know what I was thinking. It's all about content. We should have had Mario go through the drive-thru and get us some McDonald's. Yes, Paul.
There are 18 McDonald's in the Knoxville area, so we don't know which one it is.
No, we do not. Now, that doesn't mean they went to McDonald's to get their money.
Oh.
But the money was in the McDonald's bags. So that's where you go, hey, we got lunch for you guys. And all of a sudden you're going, whoa, all right, I like this place.
Do you ask for extra lettuce on your Big Mac?
Okay.
Get it? Lettuce?
I see what you're doing.
Stay with us.
See what you're doing. All righty. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. Got great news here. I've been doing a podcast called That Scene. It's a podcast where I interview actors and actresses about great scenes from their careers. So we have some older episodes that we're getting a little bit more widespread release. Ralph Macchio, we talked about Karate Kid, Cobra Kai. Rosie Perez, who must be a girlfriend from another life with me. She was in Do the Right Thing. Will Ferrell with Old School. They talk about iconic scenes. And you can listen to these podcasts now, danpatrick.com, as well as stay tuned as we continue to air new episodes on Amazon Music. I interviewed Anthony Mackie, who is in the Marvel, in Captain America. And he might be the new Captain America. And I talked to him about a new episode yesterday. Whole lot of fun. He's from New Orleans and had some great stories. Big sports fan. He told a story about meeting Barry Larkin. One of his idols is Barry Larkin, shortstop for the Reds. And I go, okay, I'll listen. What do you got? And he goes, I'm at a bar and we're smoking cigars. And I go, that's Barry Larkin. That's my idol. I wanted to be Barry Larkin growing up. I go over to Barry Larkin. One of his buddies is there. He grabs my cigar out of my mouth, takes a puff on it, and he says, I know who you are, and then puts it back in my mouth. And I go, what happened? He goes, well, it's Barry Larkin and Barry Larkin's guy. I couldn't do anything, but I still don't know why this guy grabbed my cigar, took a puff on it, put it back in my mouth. So We've got an upcoming episode with Anthony Mackie where we talk about Captain America and his role, because he got the shield at the end of Endgame. And I don't know if he's the new Captain America or he wants to be, but we do discuss it. This program brought to you by Built Bar. 18 amazing flavors, mint brownie, coconut almonds, some of my favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com, enter the promo code DP, 20% off your purchase. Got a poll question, play of the day, a couple of stats of the day. Really interesting Tom Brady stat of the day coming up. Inauguration Day in Washington is not a sporting event, but the Oval Office and sports have always been intertwined. And for over a century now, presidents have been throwing out the first pitch. Champions come to the White House, or they publicly root for their teams. And we've seen them work in sports. Donald Trump owned the USFL, the New Jersey Generals, a team that I got to cover. In fact, was at Trump Tower when he introduced Doug Flutie there when he signed him. George W. Bush ran the Rangers. Ronald Reagan called radio games. Some played. Gerald Ford played center at Michigan. Dwight Eisenhower, he played college football. The elder Bush, he played at Yale, first baseman. Barack Obama loved his Chicago teams, even interviewed in the Michael Jordan documentary. Bill Clinton famously followed the Arkansas Razorbacks when they won a national championship. Richard Nixon, big, huge fan, and even suggested plays for his Washington Redskins. And that brings us to Joe Biden. He's an Eagles fan. I don't know if he was ever in the stands to boo Santa Claus, but don't be surprised if he embraces sports just like so many other presidents have. All right, McLevin, you got a poll question for me today.
Well, yeah, I mean, Paulie wanted to save this, but I can't wait.
Oh, by the way,
sorry.
Philip Rivers has retired.
Oh, my God. Sorry, I didn't realize we
were saying. Yeah, you have to. I have to announce the news before you then say, is Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, so basically, I can't wait. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? I need to hear your opinion because he's going to be a polarizing one.
Well, just say, is he a Hall of Famer?
I think you have to say first ballot because I think Hall of Fame is a lot of people get in now. He'll get in at some point.
I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. 17 years, he's got numbers, but I think, and this is the greatest era of quarterbacks. Because look at the number of quarterbacks playing or have played this year who are going to be Hall of Famers. I don't know if we've ever had this in the history of the sport at that position. It's pretty a high bar when you think about how great, you know, if I look at Brady and Breeze, just their numbers, and then you put in Philip Rivers and you go, yeah, okay, doesn't fit. Just numbers, not even talking about the Super Bowls that Tom has and then Breeze has won. You know, Ben Roethlisberger got a couple of Super Bowls, may not have the exact numbers Philip Rivers has, but he's a Hall of Famer, and he would go in, I think, before Philip Rivers would. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers obviously is a Hall of Famer. Yeah, Paulie.
Phil Rivers was a starter for 15 seasons, and seven of those seasons his team made the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's a plus. You know, like Matt Stafford is on the same course of Phil Rivers without the playoff wins. I think Phil Rivers has five playoff wins as a starter. Matt Stafford has the similar numbers, like great numbers forever. He doesn't have any playoff wins yet.
Yeah, but I think Matt Ryan might go in. If you said, let's compare when they're done, Matt Ryan to Philip Rivers. Matt Ryan was league MVP, got to the Super Bowl. Yes, lost in dramatic fashion. But that might be a little bit more of a nudge with the voters than it would be. You know, but Matt Ryan, an all-pro one time, I think. Yeah, McLevin.
Could you just argue quarterbacks deserve the benefit of the doubt? Like, a good quarterback should get in because they're just so impactful in the game. Like, no offense to Charles Woodson, who's going to get in this round. He's an all-timer, first ballot Hall of Famer. But he's not as impactful as Philip Rivers was over the last 20 years.
But you have Aaron Rodgers saying he's the greatest football player I've ever played with.
Charles Woodson?
Yes.
That's pretty high praise.
Yes, it is.
But still, I mean, there's a reason Philip Rivers got $400 million in his career. Quarterbacks touch the ball every play. They're the sun of the sport.
But you're getting those numbers just because of the game, the way the game is played now. You have to throw for at least 50,000 yards and 300 touchdowns.
But he won a lot of regular season games, too. Did they go 15-1 at one point?
Yeah, yeah. I think he's a Hall of Famer. He's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. That was your question.
Yeah, I think he'll be first ballot, though. I think quarterbacks, Eli's too. I think Eli will be a first ballot. I don't think it's right or wrong, but the media loves these guys. Don't you? You know these guys. Don't you think they'll vote them in?
Well, Eli was a better postseason quarterback, but it feels like Philip might have been a better regular season quarterback. And Eli beat the Patriots twice. He beat Belichick twice. He plays in New York. You're going to get extra points for that. You know, I go back to Joe Namath. As much as I love him as a person, he's the most overrated quarterback in history. Because if you look at his regular season numbers, they're really pedestrian. I think more interceptions than touchdowns. He had the one season that changed the perception of the NFL when the underdog Jets beat the big bad Colts. But Lenny Dawson, the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback, to me is a better quarterback than Joe Namath. Now, style, flair, the ability with those little, you know, like Pop Warner pads that he would wear, and he could just flip the ball. You know, he was so effortless, and he's a wonderful person too. If you ever get a chance to be around Joe, but you know, I did it in New York, and we did it on a national stage when we were the biggest underdog in Super Bowl history. But that's not why you should go into the Hall of Fame. And I don't know if we change, you know, what we expect out of a quarterback. What do we expect out of a quarterback? I should say, when I mention somebody, this is the name, Hall of Famer. And really, that should be the litmus test. But it's not, because then we'll wait 20 years and say, the Veterans Committee is going to put this guy in. Even though we didn't put him in before, then we're going to put him in. You know, we're going to make you wait. You know, we make Hall of Famers in baseball wait to the final year of eligibility, and they get in. But I'm glad I don't vote on this. I think Philip Rivers was a very good quarterback, and he was always available, rarely injured. But I wouldn't say he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Yeah, Paul.
I've been saving this for 4 minutes. Whose career would you rather have? Phil Rivers does not have a Super Bowl appearance. Tons and tons and tons of stats. Bunch of Pro Bowls. Joe Flacco, Super Bowl MVP. Joe Flacco, I do not think, has ever made a Pro Bowl in his career. He's never led the league in any passing category ever.
But he's got one of the best postseason resumes of any quarterback.
Yep. Joe Flacco in the playoffs is 10-5. With 25 touchdowns and 10 picks.
Yeah.
Philip Rivers, I think, is 5-7 in the postseason. But Joe Flacco's not sniffing the Hall of Fame.
No, Joe had a couple of moments there. He played on a very good team.
Without the Super Bowl, he's Hall of Very Good.
Yeah, he's Hall of Good.
Yeah, Hall of Good.
Hall of Good.
But that Super Bowl MVP really stokes things up.
Yes, McLovin.
See, I can't separate Joe Flacco's personality from this question. Like, Joe Flacco had no fun with any of this. I don't want to be Joe Flacco. If Joe Flacco had a big personality, I'd pick Flacco. But Flacco, did he tell us he went to drive-in after the Super Bowl? Like, nobody wants to be Joe Flacco. No kid grows up and says, man, someday I want to grow up and be Joe Flacco. And
maybe his sons, like his sons.
Maybe. No, they probably.
Rivers is like a hero kind of figure. You know, he's like the gunslinger, talking trash, Phil Rivers, quarterback.
Talking G-rated trash. That's what I always loved about Philip Rivers. You know, very religious. He's going to coach high school football. That's what he's going to do in Northern Alabama, I think, going back home. But he give you a gosh dang. But just to hear somebody talk trash and it's G-rated would make me laugh. Yes, Todd.
Now, is Philip Rivers going to whine to the refs even like at the high school level if the call doesn't go his way? That's what I'm curious about.
You would kill to have Philip Rivers
Absolutely.
As your quarterback.
I actually like Philip Rivers. But he did whine
no,
a lot.
No, you don't. You would always criticize
Philip
Rivers.
Now that
Philip
he's retired and the Broncos don't have to go up against him.
You liked him because he came on the show.
That's definitely a part of it. But he did cry and whine a lot.
John Elway would love to have Philip Rivers over Drew Locke. That Drew Locke experiment, that seems like it's ending. Mm. That didn't take long. All right, Patrick Mahomes still in protocol. Even though he doesn't have a concussion, he's in concussion protocol, which is interesting. I'm guessing he's going to be ready to play this weekend. Something interesting said yesterday, and I don't know if Colin Cowherd was being serious when he said this. I didn't see this or hear this, but Paulie pulled the clip where Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio said the following about Patrick Mahomes and his availability this weekend.
I'm sitting here this morning thinking, if I'm the NFL, Patrick Mahomes is going through protocol. I find the day Patrick Mahomes can play, that's when we play. Why not?
I hope Colin's joking, because I don't know what he said after that to put it in context, but when I hear that, I'm going, no, you can't do that. Like, how do you pick and choose who you're going to decide that's enough to not play a game? Like, this isn't COVID-related. This is an injury. This is part of sports. Do we wait for Kevin Durant to get healthy from his Achilles injury to then replay the NBA Finals?
I think the NBA would like to. I'm sure the NFL would love to do this. To be fair to Colin, a lot of websites out there, sports websites, completely posted it as if Colin was being dead serious in his take there.
Well, that's not a credit to Colin. I thought, well, maybe he's sort of joking a little bit. Like, Patrick Mahomes is that important. Let's pause. So we're going to then wait another week for him. What if it's 2 weeks? Do we wait 2 weeks for, like, how long do we wait? We'll wait 7, but not 14 days. I mean, I'm assuming Colin is joking about that, but I don't know. But I thought, well, okay, where do we draw the line? If Josh Allen was in concussion protocol, would we then say, you know, let's move it another week? If Aaron Rodgers, of course. But what if it's a skill position player? Another, you know, position, not a quarterback. Like, Devontae Adams can't play. Like, at what point do you go, is this the Patrick Mahomes rule? Like, nobody else? What if Brady couldn't play this weekend? Yeah, Paul.
You know, I thought Colin was kidding, but more I think about it, I'd be in favor of it. It came to some type of vote. If I knew it was Chad Henne playing this weekend, I got time.
Yeah, but you can't do this.
I know you technically can't.
So imagine if you're the Buffalo Bills and you're going, wait, we're not playing. Why? We want to make sure Patrick Mahomes is healthy.
As a viewer, though, if it were a referendum, I'm voting with Colin on this one.
Yes, McLovin.
Okay, if the Packers advance and Aaron Rodgers tests positive and they have to just wait two more days to get in, would they push the Super Bowl back? That, at least, you're in the discussion. I don't think they would or could.
But that, we're talking about COVID.
Right. So it's opened the door to health issues affecting when the game is.
But we've never gone through COVID before. Yeah. We've gone through concussions.
Yeah.
Troy Aikman said he got concussed in the NFC title game and played in the Super Bowl the next week. He would never be able to play in the Super Bowl the next week, I don't think. He was in the hospital and has no recollection of the NFC title game. Played in a Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl. I don't think they would have gone, you know, Troy, America's team, maybe we could move this back. People would have said, you're crazy. Maybe he was having fun. Maybe, I don't know.
That's great.
I got enough to worry about, you know. I can't be worrying about what other hosts are saying, but it was brought to my attention. Yes, McLovin.
Are we sure, yeah, by the way, this is, I'm asking, like, everyone's agreeing it's a pinch nerve. Are we sure it was a concussion with Mahomes? And the reason I say this, because my good friend, Kevin Cobb, his first concussion was just a little boop. It was just like nothing. You couldn't even tell that he was hit in the head. And within 2 years, his career was over. Like, that's a thing. Like, could it have really been a concussion? Not that you know the answer, Dan, but...
I don't know. Teams are used to be pretty good at hiding things, but I don't know if they would go, let's make it a pinched nerve, compressed nerve. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. I was looking at the sports books for entertainment purposes only, with Chad Henne as the backup to Patrick Mahomes. Westgate Superbook, their director John Murray said Buffalo will become the favorite if Mahomes is ruled out. But there is a difference of opinion among the staff of odds makers. The line could go Bills -3 if Chad Henne plays, or move as high as -7 for the Buffalo Bills. If Mahomes is fine, fully healthy, Chiefs -3 or -4. If he's not playing, Buffalo could be about a 7-point favorite. The betting public loves the Bills. Entertainment purposes only. Brett Favre had his thoughts on Patrick Mahomes, and this is his advice to Patrick Mahomes.
I played 321 straight games. It kind of goes against everything that I stood for when I played. But you got to be smart. You got to be smart. I was never faced with a decision that he potentially will face this week. And ultimately, the decision may fall on the doctors. And if they choose that he doesn't play, then it's the right move because of long-term damage. And when you're in the moment and you're young, you're bulletproof, man. But I'm 51 years old, and I wonder what tomorrow will bring because of concussions more than anything.
And nobody is thinking about that when they're 25. But this is a new era and a new athlete in their approach towards longevity, the amount of money that's available for these players. And here's Mahomes just starting a $500 million contract. Here's Favre on Mahomes' concussion, and it'll be a test for the NFL.
He will want to play, whether or not he passes the baseline test that he took initially, and the doctors feel he's able. This is a test for the NFL right now, to see a star player in a crucial game. What will happen with their decision?
This is a 50-year-old former quarterback talking about this. As far as the Kansas City Chiefs, I always want to hear what the coach has to say after the game. And Andy Reid made it seem like, hey, he's in good spirits, and gave you a feeling of, okay, not that bad. Maybe it wasn't a concussion. Maybe it was just nerve damage in the moment, and he'll be fine. But you have to go through the concussion protocol. I don't know exactly how that works in determining, okay, we saw that. That's what we need to see to move on to the next round. And then the next step, and then the next step. If he's been cleared to be on the practice field and throw the football, then I would assume that he will be playing this weekend. But I don't know if he had a concussion. And I think that's the big question mark that I would have. And I don't know if we've had medical results or they've even released anything about that. But it does feel like, if I watch that video, I don't see his head hit the ground. He hits the defender's arm or hand. Now, it could still, I guess, bring about a concussion. This is different than Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's head snaps back in the end zone, and that looks like a concussion. Mahomes got up, and he looked like he had had a concussion. But I don't know if this is just nerve damage, and it was one of those in the moment, a compressed nerve. Maybe it's something that if you do massage therapy, if you're injecting it, whatever it is, I think there's a little bit more to this than just it's a concussion. It didn't seem like a concussion to me, just observing how he got up from a hit like that. Yeah, Paul.
We've had 100 old football players on the show, and they've told you about lying to get in games, lying to hide injuries. Urlacher, Polamalu, we've got lists of them. Aikman. Do you think that Patrick Mahomes or any player these days, even though long-term health is more of a concern, has like a sliding scale? This isn't October 5th. This is January 20th.
I think it's harder to lie now. I think it's harder to deceive now.
Because they don't listen to you. They listen to the medical guys.
This isn't like, hey, if you do this, you can pass a lie detector test. This is different. And I think, with the lawsuits, independent doctor looking at Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if you can go, hey, I'll pass you. The home team doctor gave you a home team advantage, but you don't have that now. And that's why I think it's a tricky situation for the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, Todd.
The other thing is, if he does have a concussion and he starts experiencing any symptoms in the coming days, he's got to go back to stage one of the concussion protocol, and there's a limited number of days until Sunday's coming up. So that's another factor. If all of a sudden things are bright or he's experiencing nausea or anything, he's got to go back to square one.
McLovin, did you see any language, though, on could it be nerve damage and it's not a concussion? Was he originally diagnosed with a concussion, therefore he had to go through concussion protocol? Like that's mandatory?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Which makes sense. And the thing I was going to ask you about concussions, like you can't see any, you can't prove anything, but you can't see inside the brain. So yeah, you have to go on symptoms like eye dilation.
Yes. And I've had two concussions, and one was horrible. Just I had no business being on my feet at all. The other one, I didn't know I had a concussion. I had to be told I had a concussion. There's varying degrees of this, and you'll find these players that you get your bell rung. And then we find out getting your bell rung probably means you had a concussion. And it's, you know, people go, well, it's like minor surgery. You can have a slight concussion. Now, if you've ever had surgery, it's surgery. And if you ever can have a concussion, it's a concussion. Now, you know, the severity of it, because I was nauseous. It was almost like I'd been on a boat and I was seasick. And it was where you just want to lie down. And the room spins. I saw stars. It was a horrible experience. But the other one that I had, I didn't know that I had it. And then I realized that I did. And then you start to have some symptoms there. I don't know if Patrick Mahomes has a concussion. But you have to go through that process there. And then just the preparatorial work for the Buffalo Bills is really key. I know they played them already, and it is Patrick Mahomes, but just getting ready for the Buffalo Bills and the whole process, and these are creatures of habit. I do this on Monday. I do this on Wednesday. Thursday, I do this. He might not be able to do that, and that's also something to factor in. Yeah, Paulie.
You know what Joe Thomas, the offensive tackle, was talking about yesterday was kind of even more scary. He was talking about nerve damage, and when you get hit in a nerve, some of your body parts don't move normally for the next few minutes or a few seconds. And to me, I think most pro football players have had a bunch of concussions, light ones, dings, bell rungs. But that nerve thing where you put your foot down and it's not stable, that's got to be really scary.
What did he call that? Like a dead foot? Or like you needed help off the field, and it was just a nerve. It wasn't a concussion. It was nerve damage there. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. Tiger is out for 2 months. He had a back procedure. He's had back surgeries, but this was just a procedure. I'm not sure the difference, and I probably had quite a few procedures because I've had quite a few surgeries. Do you have the definition, the medical definition of a procedure as opposed to a surgery?
Are you suggesting we play the surgery versus procedure game? Because I've had this one in the stall for years.
Okay. I didn't know we were ready for that, but yeah, sure. The difference between a procedure and a surgery. This guy is not an athlete, but he's had a couple of procedures. Paul?
Thank you, Dan. Who in this room, part one of the quiz, thinks there is a difference between a surgery and a procedure? Because a lot of people think it's just a sports team term to make it seem like it's not as important or not as serious. Who thinks there is a technical difference?
I do.
I do too.
Yeah.
You're all correct.
I'll lead, yes.
You're all correct. There is a difference. Surgery is an invasive technique with a fundamental principle of physical intervention on organs or organ systems. That means they cut you open and enter, and they're doing stuff inside your body cavity.
Yes.
Okay. As a general rule, and this is, they said it's developed over the years, a procedure is not considered surgery when it involves cutting into the tissue or closure of a previously sustained wound. So let's say you had back surgery and it was big, but they go back in, cut the same little area, open up and do a cleanup. That is considered in the medical field a procedure. It's not a new surgery. It's kind of like a cleanup on aisle 5.
Yes, Todd.
So all procedures, all surgeries are procedures, but not all procedures are surgeries. Can we say that?
I think so.
Or am I complicating things more?
I think, Todd, you're wrong-ish because a surgery is bigger than a procedure.
Because they use a phrase that says a surgical procedure,
ooh,
which is also surgery, I would say.
Dan, you've had shoulder surgery, right?
And knee surgery.
Okay, so let's say they went into your shoulder and they noticed there's a little chip missing.
Yeah.
And they went in and just did a quick cleanup of that chip in your shoulder. That would be considered a procedure because it's the same area.
All I know is if you put me under and I'm on a slab and you're going into my body and cutting into it, that's a surgery.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. I mean, that's, even if you've gone in before, because I've had my knee cut on, what, 6 times? They go in the same places because they have the holes there. Is that surgery or a procedure?
I think you've had one surgery and 5 procedures, checking my notes.
Dang.
Okay, but
that doesn't mean you weren't out and it didn't hurt.
When I got my knee replaced.
That's a surgery. That's okay. A big time surgery.
All right. And then when I got my rotator done.
Surgery.
Okay.
But when if you got it done again, procedure.
What it,
it doesn't. Yeah, now I get bummed out. Like, you know, when you say I've had six surgeries on my knee, man, you must have been an athlete. If I say I had one surgery and five procedures.
You're too far down the road. Just stick with what you did. What do you think about surgeries where you're still awake? Do they seem like JV surgeries?
No, because I had my knee done. And this was Dr. Ting in San Francisco, who was the Giants physician, and he worked on Barry Bonds. He said to me,
"Want some of this?"
No,
oh.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I would have taken some of that. He said to me, "Do you want to be awake for this?" And I go, "Good God, no. Why?" He goes, "Well, I thought you might want to watch this." And what he would do is they would numb you from like a local in your knee. And I, you know, this way you don't wake up. And if you've ever, come out of anesthesia, you can be nauseous. You don't feel good at all. And he said, you know, this eliminates that. And you can watch me go in. And this, I had the microfracture surgery. So he thought, you're going to want to see this. And, you know, he has the drill bit where he goes into the knee and he's trying to find, you know, healthy cartilage or blood in there. And he gave me the VHS tape of my knee surgery. I told you guys this story.
We watched. I think we saw some pictures from it.
I was, my wife and I were getting ready to watch something, and we had it on VHS. Might have been a Seinfeld episode. And I put this in, and we were actually having spaghetti, as
no.
God is my witness. And all of a sudden, you see this drill going into my knee.
How could you eat during that?
No, we didn't. I didn't know what it was. And my wife goes, "Oh my God, what is this?" I go, "Oh, that's my knee surgery.
A little cartilage and pasta."
Yeah. Cartilage primavera. Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
I had the eye surgery a couple of years ago, and they asked the same thing. Would you want to be conscious and aware during it? I'm like, absolutely not. I know it's more dangerous. There's danger with anesthesia and stuff like that. But the idea of being, not the pain, but the awareness doesn't sound like fun.
I had both of my eyes. I had the RK surgery. And this is where they open your eyes. They put something in your eyes.
They have these clamps that pull the skin back like a scary movie.
And then they put drops, so they numb the surface of your eye.
It's like Clockwork Orange.
Yes. And then you see him. So you're awake, and I see this knife that's coming right towards my eyeball. And so they carved up my eyes. And I remember driving soon after. Hope nobody's eating right now. And I have lights, like the car lights coming. I could see like cutouts, like a pizza slices in my eye of the light of the car coming towards me. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Longtime columnist for the Indianapolis Star, friend of the show, Bob Kravitz, senior staff writer for The Athletic. Bob, what the hell's going on here?
Well, you know, I got a chance to see this documentary, Four Games in Fall. And, you know, I found it very compelling. I found it very one-sided, but I found it very compelling. And I thought, you know, over the years, I've had a chance to read more about Deflategate because I have no life. And it raised some questions in my mind that I did not have previously. Have I come over to the dark side? No. But it certainly, you know, if you like to think of yourself as a relatively open-minded person, there are certainly some pretty interesting elements to the documentary that make you think twice about it.
Okay, give me the biggest piece of information that you gleaned from this documentary that made you hit the pause and maybe have an epiphany on Deflategate.
Well, I think the history of Exponent. No, I think that, and that's of course the company that did all the research for the Wells Report, and their history of being a doubt science entity, being a science for hire. If you look at some of the people they've represented over the years. They produced results that were the desired results for certain companies. And I found that very off-putting. I was aware of that at some level as it was going on, but you know, 4, 5, 6 years later, it just struck me again as being very compelling.
Okay, take us back to that night. And you get ready to hit send. So the Colts just got roughed up by the Patriots. How do you get the information?
Well, first I went downstairs to the locker room and I did an hour long post game show, and I forgot my phone because that's the kind of thing I do. So I get back up to the press box, look at my phone, see a text from somebody saying, call me immediately. Call this person, get the information. I'm like, holy crap. What have I fallen into?
But what's the information?
The information is that the Patriots are being investigated for allegedly using deflated footballs. Okay. So it was 100% right. It was 100% right. So I spent the next, I don't know, 45 minutes or so looking for either confirmation or denial. And I was able to get confirmation from someone I felt very strongly about as a source, and said, let's let it roll. Let's let it ride. And tweeted it out, and then all hell broke loose.
I have a real problem with, it sounds like, feels like, there was somebody inside the NFL who was leaking bad information, slanted information throughout this process.
Well, I certainly think that, you know, Mort, who I respect, you know, more than just about anybody in our business, I think the NFL used him. I don't believe that he's used by the league. I feel like I was just given some information that was 100% accurate.
But why would they use Mort, though?
Because of his status. Because, I mean, if you use Mort or Adam or whoever it might be, I mean, you get the most bang for your buck in that fashion, no?
Well, but I don't understand. It felt like we committed to this. Now we got to go to the mat and we got to bring Brady and the Patriots in here. Instead of saying, hey, you know what? They may have done this. Or it felt like there was a less heavy-handed way of approaching this from the NFL, Bob.
I agree. And look, you look at the NFL and the way they've looked into various issues over the years, the Ray Rice fiasco. I mean, these guys, they're incompetent in many ways, and I thought that they handled this incompetently. I think the media, to some degree, got caught in the dragnet to some degree, and you could also make the argument that we allowed ourselves to get caught in that dragnet.
I never cared about the footballs, but I don't know why the NFL cared about the footballs. The Aaron Rodgers came on the show and said he overinflates the football. Like, I think this has happened for decades here. Why all of a sudden the Patriots?
Well, I think because they do have the priors, and I think Don Van Natta and Seth Wickersham wrote a really good piece for ESPN.com, I think it was about 2 years ago, that in many ways this was a makeup call for the way they handled Spygate. And, you know, that was they did not go to the mat. They took it easy on the Patriots for the most part. And so I think it was a makeup call to some degree. I think they're getting a lot of grief from a lot of other owners who feel like the Patriots play fast and loose with the rules. And I think this is how it came down.
Man, that's dangerous though, Bob.
Of course it is.
It's so dangerous.
And what's really dangerous is that the NFLPA gave Goodell unilateral power to rule on disciplinary issues. Yeah. And so whether you think the science was flawed, whether you think the investigation was flawed, they used the media in myriad ways, the bottom line is Goodell, for right or wrong, has the freedom, has the right to make the call, make the judgment call there.
What do you think now about Deflategate?
I still, and this is more a feeling, it's not provable, I think something happened. I think something happened. Here's the deal. I look at the science from Exponent or another company or another scientists, and I think, well, that makes sense. And then I read, then I watch the guy from MIT, Dr. Leonard, and I think, that makes sense. I don't know what classes you took at UD, but
none.
When I was at Indiana, I didn't take class. I mean, I took physics for poets. You know, I mean, the Gay-Lussac law. What the hell do I know about that? So, you know, when I read one Ivy League guy say they're guilty, I think that's probably the case. When I read another Ivy League guy who says that they are, I think, you know, it's sort of beyond my comprehend is what I'm saying.
Yeah, they'd been doing this for years. This wasn't something new to beat the Colts. And other quarterbacks have told me privately that they've done this, that they should be able to do this, that this is one of those, well, that's the rule, and then we got you. And then, oh, you're lying to me. And then there's the deflator. And all. I mean, it just felt like it careened out of control. It didn't need to. And the fact that you would try to do a makeup for Spygate, man, is that dangerous.
Yeah, it is. It Crazy. Absolutely is. Crazy. Yeah. I mean, look, when I broke the story, I thought this will be a 2-week story. They'll go, boy, was I wrong.
Do you wish you'd never?
No, I'm absolutely okay. Glad that I did.
Okay.
Because it was right, Dan. Whether they were guilty of it or not, what I wrote was that they are being investigated. That was 100% correct. Now, where I screwed up, and I made this point in my column the other day in The Athletic, was that I saw what Mort had written about 11 of 12 balls being 2 pounds per square inch underweight, and with it. And I'm not taking shots at Mort because, he's a friend, and I think he's great at what he does. But he got used in that situation, and the mistake I made was using that as a jumping off point to viscerally react through tweets saying, you know, Belichick should have his head on a platter. That was a mistake by me. I got too far over my skis.
But this, now the real story is, and is somebody going to do the real story on who is the person inside the NFL who was leaking this false information? Because that's what I want to know. That's at the crux of a lot of this, it feels like, Bob. The woman you spoke to who is part of the documentary, Julie Marin, she says the NFL deliberately lied about things, withheld information, and spent months digging into the construct to construct a narrative. To me, the fact that they could do this as arguably the most successful player in the league was pretty chilling.
Yeah.
That's the story. Like, they're doing this. They're eating their own. They're going after Brady.
I don't disagree with you. I'm not sure. Man. You know, that's something they're ever going to be, you know, I mean, certainly I'm not going to talk about the people that I spoke with. Certainly Mort's not. I think Mort has done a bit of a mea culpa on it. I'm not completely sure, but I think he has acknowledged that the information was not correct. So, you know.
Did you ever speak to Brady?
I never have. I never have. I'd love to. I'd love to. I really would. I mean, I've got nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, they were investigating. I wrote that they were investigating. End of story.
Oh, this is one of those. It's attached to the Patriots, so it's going to live on forever. If it was, Bengals, nobody would care. But if it was the Patriots, it's Tom Brady, and it'll live on. It'll be part of the legacy of every one of those key ingredients there.
It'll be on my epitaph, sadly.
I was wondering, how many lines in to your epitaph do they mention Deflategate with Bob Kravitz? First line?
Yeah, got to be. And I'm not happy about that, necessarily. I like to think that, you know, I've done 37 years of pretty solid work at some really good publications. So I would not like that to be the first line of the epitaph, but I'll take the second or third.
Yeah, but Keith Olbermann's going to be in the first line of my epitaph. How do you think I feel about that?
That's depressing.
No, we're forever intertwined, as you are with Deflate.
Absolutely.
Bob, good to talk to you as always.
Good to talk to you, Dan. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. That's Bob Kravitz. He works for The Athletic. Indianapolis Star columnist for a long time. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. We welcome in Ross Tucker, the former NFL offensive lineman, host of Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and he'll be working for Westwood One. He'll be working the sidelines for the AFC title game. Kickoff will be 6:40 Eastern on Sunday. Ross, do we know if this is a concussion with Patrick Mahomes?
It evidently, Dan, is not a concussion. Having watched a couple times, I think that he had momentary trauma to the carotid sinus area where the vagus nerve and baroreceptors are located. And I think what happened was really a vasovagal reaction.
You reading something?
I read that this morning from Dr. David Chow. The 20 years he was the Chargers team doctor. He doesn't think Mahomes actually had a concussion. He thinks basically, you ever see like a martial artist or a cop or whatever hit someone like here? He thinks that when Mac Wilson came up with his right arm and hit him, and he said in 20 years he never saw it in football, but based on the different reports that are leaking out and the video, that's what he believes happened, and he doesn't think Mahomes will have any problem getting clear because he doesn't think he really had a concussion.
But also, he has to go through the concussion protocol. How long does it take you to go through the protocol? I mean, you can say, look, I don't have a concussion, but if you're in the concussion protocol, you have to go through the required steps, don't you?
Yeah, and one of them is a full practice. So I don't think we will hear that he is cleared until Friday afternoon, maybe Saturday morning, because they'll probably take it easy with him today. Maybe he does a full practice Thursday. Then he meets with the independent neurologist. And I know, Dan, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there. I understand that. But they really do have independent neurologists. They're not affiliated with the team. And those people have to clear them, and they do that for a reason. They want to make sure there's somebody who's not affiliated with the team, because there'd be a heck of a lot of pressure on that team doctor if that's who was in charge. It's really out of everybody's hands other than that independent neurologist at this point.
Can you hide a concussion nowadays?
Yeah, I think you can. You know, you can't hide what happened to Mahomes.
Yeah.
Where he obviously stumbled to his feet. And I actually think, Dan, even if whatever Dr. Chow said, even if he's cleared, I got to think, like, I can just picture my mom, right, Dan, saying, that boy should not be able to play football. I saw him wobbly on his feet last Sunday. He should not be able to play. Like, I can just picture a bunch of people, my mom included, believing after what they saw last Sunday that that young man should not be able to play tackle football a week later. I don't have a problem with it as long as the independent neurologist clears them. But to your point, yeah, I mean, look, I had at least 3 concussions as a player, Dan, never diagnosed, never said anything about it. Really, back then, unless you were knocked out, and this is only 2001 to 2008, but unless you were knocked out or you said something, there really was no way for them to know. I remember one time sitting on the bench and one of the practice squad offensive linemen was like, Tuck, are you okay? And I was kind of in a fog there for a good 3 or 4 minutes. Drew Bledsoe had thrown an interception. Like a total idiot, I tried to make the tackle, and Roosevelt Colvin blindsided me. The first thing that hit the ground was the back of my head. And I was kind of in a daze for a good 3 or 4 minutes. But other than the one practice squad O-lineman who saw me get killed, he was the only person to even talk to me about it.
What if Mahomes can't play? What are their chances against Buffalo?
Well, the only thing I would say is two factors in that. Number one, Henny played really well. I mean, Henny did a lot of really positive things. He had one terrible interception. I have no idea what was going on there, but he played pretty well. The other thing is sometimes – when there's a backup quarterback like that, I feel like, number one, the other guys rally around him and play better. And number two, whether it's conscious or subconscious, it just seems like sometimes the other side, I don't know. I don't want to say they let up, but it's like, okay, it's not Mahomes. It changes things a little bit. I will say this though, Dan, Chad Henne's from my small hometown, Wyomissing, Pennsylvania. He went to Wilson High School. I've known him for a while. I used to work out with his dad. And you know the way it is. I'm sure this happens to you all the time, Dan, where people tell you their kids are, you know, oh, let me tell you about my son. He's going to be a good athlete. I remember working out with Chad Henne's dad when I was in college. He's like, yeah, I think my son's going to be pretty good. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure he's going to be great. Turns out he started 4 years for one of the top 10 schools in Pennsylvania and then 4 years at Michigan. Now he's in his 13th year in the NFL. So small world.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He'll be on the sidelines, the AFC title game with Westwood One. How important is this game to Tom Brady?
To his legacy, you mean?
Well, I brought this up, that his age, a year removed from the Patriots, you just beat Breeze. If you would happen to beat Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau when Rodgers is playing at an all-time level, he's your MVP. I'm not even getting to the Super Bowl yet. But I don't know if I'm overstating how big of a game this is for Brady to do what he's doing. If you factor in the other elements here of no longer with the Patriots, first year with Tampa Bay, age 43, on the road, and you're going to beat Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau. Am I overstating it?
No, I don't think you are. I mean, look, the only arguments people have left against Brady, right, is that it was all Belichick and coaching, and that he's a system quarterback, blah, 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 which both are laughable, but whatever. If he beats Aaron Rodgers, the MVP, at Lambeau to go to a 10th Super Bowl with a new team, even those morons will have to shut up at this point, right? I mean, even those people won't be able to say it. But to be honest with you, I feel like he's kind of already done it. I mean, the Patriots had a 5-game deficit from 2019 to this year. The Bucs had a 4-game improvement. And I know the rosters aren't totally the same, but let's be honest. He's the major reason for that. And now to win two more playoff games, to get to a 14th conference championship game. I mean, think about this. He's been to 14 conference championship games in the 19 years he's been a starting quarterback. That's 74%. It's absolutely insane. And frankly, Dan, for all the people with the system quarterback argument or the Belichick argument, well, I guess Brady brought the system to Tampa and New England stopped with the system. I don't know. Or for the Belichick thing, do you realize Belichick has one playoff win in the 8 years that Tom Brady was not his starting quarterback? I mean, that's a decent sample size now for Belichick without him.
By the way, Philip Rivers announced his retirement earlier this morning. We were debating. I guess the debate is first ballot Hall of Famer. What do you think?
I don't think he will be. No. I don't think he will be because, number one, I think Drew Brees would be ahead of him if Drew Brees retires as expected. So as far as a first ballot guy.
And Roethlisberger, if he happened to retire.
Correct. And not only that, I don't think Eli Manning necessarily will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He might not. So it might be, what would that be, year two for Eli Manning. And there's not a good argument for Rivers over Eli Manning. There's just not. So I don't think Rivers gets – I think he eventually gets in, sort of like Dan Fouts did, but I don't think Rivers is a first ballot Hall of Famer, no. I don't think he will be.
But if I said you could have Ben – Rivers or Eli as your quarterback for a decade?
Ben won for sure. Those next two guys are tough. Those next two guys are really, really tough. I feel like we're a little bit skewed based on how the last 5 years went for Rivers and Eli. If we're talking about their first 10 years or 10 years in the prime of their career,
prime,
I'd probably go Eli because, you know, I think people forget Rivers, like his first few years, Dan, they were loaded. I mean, they were loaded. They were, Antonio Gates and LaDainian Tomlinson, the O-line was awesome. Sean Merriman. And I mean, they were loaded and for whatever reason, he wasn't able to get it done to get to a Super Bowl and win it. Eli did it twice. Hard to take that away from him.
I think we got some really interesting offseason situations, obviously with Deshaun Watson there, but the Saints quarterbacking situation, the Colts quarterbacking situation, what's going on with the Eagles, what's going on with the Bears, Dak Prescott coming back with the Cowboys, Jimmy Garoppolo's future in San Francisco. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, what the Patriots are going to do. The number one quarterbacking situation that you would love to have an answer to right now is what? Aside from Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I was going to say Watson because I feel like he's the domino that everything else comes off of. I'd love to know about New England, but just knowing them, Dan, and what they look at in terms of value, I think that they'll kind of wait it out. I think that they'll kind of see what happens with these other things with Jameis Winston and other places before they pounce. I guess I'll say Indy, and I'll say Indy because I feel like Philadelphia is directly related to it because there's a lot of people out there that seem to think the Colts want to get Carson Wentz to reunite him with Frank Reich. And I saw reports this morning that that's what Carson Wentz supposedly wants. Again, that's just a report, but that's what Wentz supposedly wants. So I think probably the Colts, because they're a playoff team, they're very good, and they might go and potentially get the quarterback from the Eagles, which then I guess means Hurts would be the guy in Philadelphia.
Have fun this weekend. Safe travels. Always great to talk to you. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm sideline duty, Dan, but I'm not actually allowed on the sideline. So I think I might be getting paid to sit in the third row and have a beer and a hot dog. Hopefully. We'll find out.
Thank you, Ross. Ross Tucker. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.